You're listening to the Charge Forward audio blog by Chargebacks911, bringing you the latest in payments and fraud. To learn more about how Chargebacks 911 can help you reduce chargebacks and recover revenue lost to fraud, visit us online at chargebacks911.com.
This episode is part of our Blogs on Tape series for audio learners and busy professionals. It is entitled Chargeback Rebuttal Letter and is read by George Turner.
Writing a winning chargeback rebuttal letter. Chargeback rebuttal letters are the main ingredient of any illegitimate chargeback dispute. Merchants who wish to challenge an unwarranted chargeback must do so through the process of representment, and that requires a chargeback rebuttal letter. The three parts of a rebuttal letter. It's important to understand that the term rebuttal letter is somewhat misleading. While an actual situation-specific letter from the merchant is a key component, it must be accompanied by a chargeback adjustment reversal request, as well as compelling evidence to support the merchant's case. These three equally important items function as a unit. When people talk about a chargeback rebuttal letter, they're typically talking about the entire package. With that in mind, let's talk briefly about the other two components before we delve into constructing the actual letter. What happens when chargebacks are filed? The chargeback system was created to protect consumers from invalid charges to their credit cards. More and more, however, cardholders are using loopholes in the system to dispute perfectly legitimate transactions, a process called friendly fraud. Now, in some cases, this is an innocent mistake. Other times, a customer may be attempting to get something for free in a form of cyber shoplifting. In either event, merchants who receive a chargeback for what seems like a valid transaction have two options. Accept the chargeback, along with the accompanying fees and loss of merchandise, or dispute the chargeback through representment. The cardholder starts the process by skipping over the merchant and directly asking the issuing bank for a refund. After reviewing and approving the dispute, the issuer will forward the chargeback to the acquirer, who debits the merchant's account. The acquirer then notifies the merchant in writing by sending what is typically called chargeback debit advice, chargeback adjustment advice, or simply chargeback advice. Because the acquirer sends the chargeback advice letter on the same day the account is debited, merchants often notice the bank account adjustment before even receiving the written notification. Depending on the acquirer, some or all of the following will be included with the chargeback advice: the chargeback reason code, the transaction amount and chargeback amount, the deadline for submitting representment documents, the adjustment date, the case number assigned to the chargeback, the credit card number used for the transaction, and the 23-digit identification number assigned by the card network. That's a lot of information. How much of it is necessary to dispute the chargeback typically varies according to card network, bank, and/or the reason code. Also included with the chargeback advice will be a chargeback adjustment reversal request, which may help interpret what needs to be addressed in each particular chargeback situation. When to start collecting evidence. Ideally, the most important part of a successful chargeback representment happens before the disputed transaction even takes place. In almost every instance, the merchant is better off disputing all illegitimate chargebacks. Having said that, disputing even one chargeback is incredibly time-consuming. It starts with tracking down evidence to back up the challenge. Whether the merchant is trying to prove the item was delivered or that the cardholder actually authorized the transaction, the bank will want proof. Unfortunately, the only parties likely to produce this evidence are merchants themselves. In a perfect world, e-commerce businesses would have a process in place for collecting, filing, and storing that information. That way, the merchant would have, and have ready access to the compelling evidence needed to dispute a chargeback. Comparatively few businesses actually have a comprehensive system in place. There are software programs that claim to automatically collect the necessary information. Even with such a system in place, merchants will need to consistently check that the software is collecting the right data. The goal is to be proactive and thus prepared when it comes time to dispute a chargeback. What constitutes compelling evidence? The specific evidence required for a given chargeback will depend on the reason code. That's the first thing merchants should look for. The reason code will pinpoint why the cardholder is disputing the transaction and how the cardholder's argument can be countered, at least in theory. In reality, however, reason codes often have nothing to do with the real reason a chargeback was filed. The true cause of the chargeback may be anything from fraud to buyer's remorse. Nevertheless, the reason code shows what the bank considers the source of the chargeback. That means that for the purposes of challenging a dispute, merchants must build a defense based on whatever reason code is listed in the chargeback advice letter. Like other parts of the chargeback rebuttal letter, the rules for compelling evidence differ between card networks and are subject to change with little or no notice. Examples of possible compelling evidence include sales receipt or order form, proof of delivery, evidence the customer is satisfied with the purchase, evidence the quality of the items or services was acceptable, or evidence the purchase was made by an authorized member of the cardholder's household. The clock is always ticking. Since chargebacks so often seem to materialize completely out of the blue, it's hard for merchants to feel relaxed about them. Part, this is due to the fact that the cardholder sometimes has as long as 120 days to dispute a transaction. Just because the customer has a long time to react doesn't mean the merchant gets the same luxury. In most cases, merchants have less than a week to submit a chargeback rebuttal letter. That's not a lot of time to track down evidence and create a compelling argument. And ignoring a chargeback is never a good idea. Traditionally, if merchants did not respond within the given time limit, the issuer just assumed that the chargeback was being accepted. Under last year's Visa Claims Resolution Initiative, however, merchants are required to submit an actual response stating they either accept or deny the charge. Otherwise, they face an additional fine. Writing a chargeback rebuttal letter. Finally, let's take a look at writing the actual rebuttal letter. While strong evidence speaks volumes, a well-executed letter allows the merchant to underline and clarify how the facts support the dispute. Here are some things to consider when crafting a rebuttal letter. 1. Get to the point. Ideally, the letter should never be over one page in length. 2. Keep it simple. The rebuttal letter should make good use of short sentences, active verbs, and clear structure. 3. Make it specific. Every rebuttal letter must be customized to the exact circumstances of the specific case. A form letter won't cut it. And 4. Keep emotion out of it. Anger, annoyance, or frustration stemming from the cardholder's claim has no place here. It cannot be stressed strongly enough that a chargeback rebuttal letter must be succinct and compelling. Every word should be relevant. The idea is to make it simple and obvious for a busy bank agent to understand the merchant's position and rule in their favor. Anything that does not advance those goals should be edited out. If you'd like more information on how to best create an effective rebuttal letter, you can download the Chargeback Rebuttal Letter Template and Checklist, a free ebook created by the experts at Chargebacks 911. Simply visit chargebacks911.com. A word of warning. Our rebuttal letter guide offers merchants tools and information to fight back. Even so, it should be acknowledged that do-it-yourself chargeback management is usually only capable of addressing the low-hanging fruit, chargebacks that are issued in error or come from obvious mistakes. Statistically speaking, do-it-yourself chargeback management without professional oversight is not very effective in most cases. While writing a rebuttal letter is certainly an important part of the process, the overall system for disputing chargebacks is complicated, hard to understand, and subject to being revised frequently and without notice. Plus, individual parties, banks, card networks, processors, all have different guidelines, which make successfully disputing a chargeback incredibly complex. As if that's not bad enough, merchants sending wrong, incomplete, or misleading information with the rebuttal letter can actually do more harm than good. Even outsourcing the task can be risky if you partner with the wrong service provider. Some firms simply send automated details that can damage your reputation with the issuer. In the end, what you don't know can hurt you. Professional assistance ensures a higher win rate without damaging your reputation or increasing risk. If you'd like to learn more about how Chargebacks 911 can assist with representment, contact us today at 877-634-9808. Or to download your free ebook on the ins and outs of writing rebuttal letters, find us online at chargebacks911.com.